This is Beyond the Arches, where full arch dentistry meets real talk. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome to Beyond the Arches. I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Northhook. Today we have Sanya with us today. Sanya is a dentist, and she has decided that practicing dentistry wasn't technically really for her, and that she wanted to kind of expand and get a little bit different of a perspective in the industry and in the profession. And so she took some time off from that and has sort of recently been working with dentists to become influencers and maybe gain a better social media presence, working with AI and helping them develop that sort of marketing profile. And so she reached out to us, and we decided to have a conversation together today, where we can discuss and sort of kind of see where the conversation gets us. So thank you for being here, Sanya. And
thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we look forward to we look forward to the conversation. So why don't we, I'm actually going to let you, where would you like to start? You want to start with AI? Do you want to talk about social media? Maybe a little bit of your background? Where would you like to start discussing things today?
So I can start with a little bit of my background just for the viewers to get some idea of why would a dentist ditch dentistry?
After I can think of a lot of reasons.
Yeah. No, but it's actually, like, I loved dentistry, and people may want to stop practicing after spending a decade in dentistry. They might develop health problems, back problems. But I actually practiced just for 2 years. I didn't practice for too long. So I was starting to build rapport with my mentors, finding my path through it. And I found it really exciting. I was in the endodontic department, so every day felt like an adventure. What would the tooth look like once I dig into it, once I open the pulp chamber? And I got to work with a lot of different patients, special needs, geriatric, everything. But the reason why I went into dentistry, changed my path and pivoted, is because I noticed, other than the fact that I had a creative itch and I wanted to try other things, I also noticed that there were some dentists who, despite the fact that they were so skilled, were not able to attract as many patients. While there were dentists whose skills were subpar, but they had this aura, they had this charisma that despite not speaking too much chairside, they were able to attract patients. So I was really curious about it, and I wanted to learn more about it. I knew this is not confidence. There's something more about it. What was the word exactly? I didn't know, but I knew it's not a skill you're born with. You can be trained in it. Now I know, after working around 10 years in marketing and branding, that is a brand. That is what branding is. Brand is basically what people, after having an interaction with you, what they feel and the perspective they have of you. And so once I dived into copywriting and branding, I understood the importance for a dentist to truly embody their brand, to truly represent that, because as dentists, we have this clinician's curse, because we are trained in an environment that is built around quiet competence. So how do we move that and have an aspect of self-promotion in it? And for me, how do I work with dentists and create a coherence in that branding between what patients see online and what they see in person is really interesting to me. So I went deep into it, and with AI, it just sky is the limit.
Yeah. So as you get sort of further and further away from your time in clinical dentistry, looking back on it, I read something this week that said, the further away you are from an experience, the more cherished less you remember of the bad parts, and everything that you remember of the good parts becomes more and more prevalent. How has it changed as you've sort of become more and more removed from clinical dentistry?
So that's an interesting statement, actually. And this is the reason why every 6 months to every year, I do think about going back into dentistry, because that's still there. My knowledge is still there. And I'm like, should I try that? But then I see the impact I'm able to create, and I see how the world has opened up. And the interesting thing with AI is that dentistry and medicine is a field that AI is not going to take over anytime soon. I saw a video of a robotic arm that is doing a crown prep on a phantom head. Well, humans are very different from phantom heads. Humans tend to fidget and have phobias and have gag reflex. So AI is not going to take over that anytime soon. So I do miss that. I do the fact that you're able to heal people with the will of God, that's a beautiful experience. But I don't think that AI is going to, it's only going to make things better for dentists, because something that I really miss, and the reason why I went into entrepreneurship with creativity, is because when you're a practicing dentist, then that's all your life is. It's really hard to switch and do other things. You can talk about this more, because for me, life was just about practicing dentistry, patients, coming back to family. I cannot do anything else. I cannot have any hobbies unless I am extremely swift with my practice. And I've trained people better that I can take probably a day off, probably 2 weeks off. So it's really difficult. And I think this is the part that I really miss. And I always have to think back about the fact that there's very less flexibility. That being said, if I was practicing now in 2026, would I still leave dentistry? Probably not. Because with AI, it's much easier for you to do so many different things within minutes. Just give an hour of your time to improve your business, improve, have other hobbies on the side, create a content, create a personal brand, create consistent content while also practice dentistry.
Yeah, that's very well said. It is an interesting landscape for sure. And there's an interesting part of it. As we were leading into this conversation, one thing I was thinking about was, you know, let's just take any random XYZ industry that we can see is going to get invaded and possibly replaced by AI. Let's just say, like, bookkeeping, right? When you're running your books on QuickBooks, a lot of what a bookkeeper does, and obviously they're skilled and they have their own line of things that they do, but a lot of what they do is categorizing expenses, et cetera, things that are very trainable to a software or a system. So a lot of those things will go away. And dentistry, like you've already kind of said, is a little bit more protected by that. There isn't a lot that can happen from inside the patient's mouth, but there's ways to augment and build a practice around something that uses that as a diving board. So for me specifically, it's sort of an exciting time where that can augment as I continue to build and continue to brand Dunn and One and continue to try to build, you know, Beyond the Arches, et cetera, that it's exciting that I know that that isn't going to get replaced and that there's something that's sacred that's still there, but I can use it as a help and something that will continue to help promote my platform and promote myself without me having to, like, really, you know, truly dive into it, etc. You know, dentistry is tough because for a lot of patients, let's speak to patients that aren't, or a dentist that aren't in more of like a traditional role, and in your traditional dental practice. And I think towards the periodontal practice that we purchased, that had been a 35-year standing periodontal practice. The only thing I heard when we moved in and we were sharing the space for a while was how little he spent on marketing and how frivolous he thought it was, because he survived, you know, the 35 years without it. Well, that's because that's the way it used to work. Now, what does that platform look like? Where does that person have to go? How does that person get away with not spending money but still compete in that area? And maybe you can speak to that a little bit. Is, you know, how does that guy, you know, hang your shingle, if you will, you know, Dr. So-and-so out the front door and now you're open. How does that person start to build that brand, and where does AI come into that?
I'd love to actually ask you the same question because your marketing and your branding is splendid. But I actually was asked the same question by a friend of mine recently, and she told me that I'm about to start working in a practice where I used to go to as a kid. And I had my orthodontic treatment done there, and it inspired me to become a dentist. And the same practice now was bought by a much younger dentist, and I'm going to start working there as an associate. And in that moment, and she said, you know, this dentist has hired a marketing agency, and they've done, you know, they're spending money on that, and they're investing money. And I just thought, I wish that marketing company would actually sit down with a dentist and ask their story, because the story this person just shared with me is gold. Mm-hmm. And just imagine someone who got treated there, got inspired to become a dentist, and now is going to be treating other kids. The kind of inspiration and warmth they're going to feel when they're in that space and how they're going to treat patients is going to be much different from someone who's going to have a matter of fact or a textbook approach to dentistry. So this is, I think, that especially in the world of AI, where polished content is very easy to create. So what people are really looking for is the humanness. And with doctors and dentists, this has been the key since ages, that people always wanted to see the behind the scenes, the warmth, the mindset that they bring to the practice. What are they actually like behind the scrubs and the white coat? So that's been a key factor, but it's now even more. This is why people who are, the more human they are, the more followers they get. And it's not just about being a follower or being an influencer. It's about anytime your content is being pushed by the algorithm, more people are coming to your page and the more they get to know about you. So really showing, creating a narrative with social media, you are able to tell your own story. So telling the story, telling how your smile transformation is different from the dentist next door. I recently had my kid treated by a pediatric dentist, and it's a fun story I'll actually tell you. I took them to a pediatric dentist, and they were nice, they were smiling. They knew I'm a dentist as well, so not the best patient to be. I was asking a bunch of questions, but they were very matter of fact, very textbooky approach, treated us like we were another family, and I just didn't like that. So I looked up another dentist, another pediatric dentist, and I found someone who's really, I couldn't find anything about them on their social media, went ahead, tried them out, and absolutely brilliant pediatric dentist, so warm, so genuine, took their time to answer all of my questions. They understood that behind this dentist is a worried mom, and I need to make sure that she's calm so her kids are calm. The way they were speaking in the clinic with my kids, the marketing specialist in me wanted to take my phone out and record that content and put it on their social media, because it was gold. This is what people want to see. How are you actually with the patients? And so so I think in this day and age, it's so much more important to show that, because like I live in downtown, and in just like a 15-minute walk, there are 3 to 5 dentists at just a 15-minute walk around me. So it's so much more different from the dentist that practiced back in the 90s. They didn't have this much crowd. They didn't have to worry about creating a blue ocean for themselves. So what is going to make you different from the dentist who's 5 minutes away? And I'd love to actually ask you more about it. How do you have patients flying in to see you? Because for me, this is the approach I would take with clinicians. So what do you think? How do you have patients flying in to see you?
Yeah, I mean, I think you draw out a good portion of this, which is there's a level of everything that needs to be polished, and there's a level of everything that needs to be social media and the behind the scenes and the story is very important to telling. Being transparent is what I would say is the number one thing that goes towards that. So building a reliable brand that's built on something that's transparent, that people have had good experience with, and not messing with people's trust. And that can go in many different ways. Obviously, you got to stand behind your work, number one. That's a level of trust that you have to gain within the community. But as you start to build out and bigger, you need to have a level of fidelity that is, here's my review, but I haven't messed with it. I haven't lured these people into it. And then they come through the process and they see, oh, well, they didn't lure me with dinner or a cookie for the review, right? Mm-hmm. So there's and that level of transparency, these are all things, AI and social media, these are all jumping platforms, in my opinion. They're jumping platforms to show that transparency, but you have to not invade or not cause any distrust from that community. For example, our Facebook group is all just done-in-one patients. They discuss it, and it's not anybody from admin. Nobody messes with it. Nobody alters any conversations. It is a free, transparent place and community for them to have a discussion. What better place for a patient to go than see that? And see, well, when I showed up, they said they were going to show up in a car that was marked with the done-in-one brand, and they picked me up, and they were nice people, and they put me in a decent hotel. These things build and build on each other. So much like telling a story where it starts at the beginning and you build, this is what these tools allow you to do, is continue to build on that platform. You know, we didn't, unlike some brands that may have really big backing, we're a very small personally backed business and personally backed brand. And so we don't have these tools that say, you know what, there's a real big missing portion of travel dentistry inside the United States, and that's what we're going to exploit. We fell into it because we had other offices that weren't performing up to our standards that we were performing marketing in, Nashville, Houston, Tampa. I woke up one day, I decided to close them all down. I didn't like what was happening in those offices. I didn't feel the control that I have now as I start to build back out. And because of that marketing, somebody called in and said, well, I still want to see you guys. Can I come in to town? And so we fell into that, and we built part of our brand around that, because we found that people aren't looking for anything but transparency, affordability, fairness, and somebody that they can trust. And so telling that story, to your point, becomes easier and easier as social media becomes more and more accessible. And I think that something that AI brings into it is a level of, how much can we trust? How much can we put our faith in the fidelity of this content? And so that can be something that we have to work against, is, you know, others that may be exploiting the system. There's people in our area that do full arch that have 7,000 reviews. Actually, realistically, we'll call it 1,500 reviews. If you look at them, they all look pretty genuine. I get to sleep at night knowing that whatever we have now, 500, 400, whatever it is 100% somebody that I can shake my hand with, that I can say, yes, I did that. And I don't ever have to worry about somebody going on to a different platform and saying that wasn't, you know, that was falsified, or that was AI filling those in. And so there's AI I see as this huge augmentation to what we do and creating that platform, but you can't falsify certain aspects of it. You can't falsify the different things that we've already discussed. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly. You were saying.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying that's the exact same thing, and it's changing so fast, because 6 months ago, the clients that I used to work with, I used to stress on creating before and afters. And now AI can create before and afters without you having to even touch the tooth. And you're not even working on the patient and all these, you know, what is actually real from what's not. So that's absolutely true. Then this is where the trust is built, because you can say for a matter as a fact that this is all true. These are all patients that trust me, and these are all cases that I did.
It's a very interesting world dentistry is, because there's so many dentists that are working in earnest and they want to have pride in their work, and they're very particular and they're very type A, very OCD about getting things perfect, you know, a perfectionist. But then there's also a big aspect of it, and it's not even major corporations. There's we've looked at buying an office, and we looked at their marketing, you know, somewhat recently, and their marketing claims that they what they do is all in-house, and what they do is unique and different. And I know for a fact, because I've seen behind the closed doors, nothing is, right? And if that comes to light, then my profession, my what I've built as a lab and my processes then get called into question. Well, do you really have a lab? Well, yeah, I do. Do you have pictures? I have pictures, but you know, those things kind of can taint the waters, and that's sort of the world that we're trying to live in as well, is overcoming the bad players, if you will, overcoming those that have come before us and misled the public. And that's true too for anyone that has a bad experience with dentistry. You and I have very similar things where we went into dentistry over orthodontics. And guess what? I didn't have a single bad experience with a dentist. And I would imagine that if you went in because of orthodontics, you probably didn't either. We both became dentists. There's probably not a lot of them dentists that went into the profession because they had a horrible experience as a child, right? So those are the things that we have to fight through. And Full Arch is unique in that we have to fight through that every day, because the number one thing that a person does not want to expose is vulnerability to that pain and vulnerability to something that they consider as ugly or that they're ashamed of. And we have to sort of overcome most of that in every single case that we do. So it's a very tough space to sort of market into when you really start to dig out those like specifics and as you really start to gain a foothold in this business, in this industry, specifically to Full Arch. Going forward, why don't you tell me, you're more on the AI side, the more the platform building, if you will. And then why don't you give me your perspective in terms of how and what kind of tools are helpful for building a person's brand and a person's entity and a person's presence, if you will. And then I'll give more of my opinion, because my opinion is actually a lot more grounded in running the operations of a business with AI.
Okay, sure. So building a personal brand has always been important. It's even more now, but there are different aspects. First of all, AI can make it a lot easier with content creation. Anything that can be repeatable and anything that requires your brand and your voice to repeat the results is something AI can do. So whether it's creating a newsletter where you're educating the patients constantly, whether it's sharing case studies with patients, obviously with the approval of the patient, hiding the details of it, but other patients get inspired by, hey, I came across a case like this. I just finished it up. They are very similar to what we talked about in our last consultation. So I wanted to share it with you. Here's how it progressed. Here are the results. And you create a template for it with AI. So AI is able to do that. And there are multiple ways. But what's very, very important and what a lot of dentists are not understanding is that in this day and age, people are going to AI to choose their dentists as well, to choose anything, whatever, even if it's a restaurant that they want to visit, they don't want to go to Google. I mean, Google has an AI aspect to it, but they don't want to go to Google and skim through all those searches and page one, page two. No, they're going to go to AI. They're going to ask AI. It's very outcome focused now. The way AI worked 6 months ago or even a month ago is very different from the way it works now. It's understanding how you're working, where your mind works, what problems are facing. And so you can just say, hey, I'm facing this problem and this tooth. Where should I go? And AI will get its results from what it sees online. And so the more content you create online, the more in tune it is with your brand, the more patient testimonials you have online, and AI can even tell. And this is where your marketing is so beautiful, because you have marketing from actual patients, because AI can tell which testimonials are posted just by the dentist and which testimonials are posted by the patient, even if it's on your page, but these are actually branded by the patient themselves. So hence you're more authentic than the dentist next door. And then how many patients you've done, how many testimonials you have, how many platforms you're prominent on. So AI can pick up, oh, I saw their results on LinkedIn. I have their results on Facebook, on Instagram, Threads, TikTok. They're posting, they're educated because they're posting educational content as well. They have before and afters that seem authentic. And so now with all of these things, AI is going to rate you as a better dentist to go to for this patient. And so the key now to have in mind for a dentist is not just to be prominent and just to show up everywhere. The key is to be part of the results. When someone asks for an implant dentist, I want to be the one that AI recommends to them. So I think this is the reason why branding is even more important, and to be present, to create consistent content and create an omnipresence for you in as many platforms as possible.
It's fascinating because what you're describing is sort of AI filtering out AI, the imposters. It wants real, genuine stuff. You know, it's sort of self-filtering itself out, which is great because yet I'm going to go back for a second. So the way that I mainly use AI is in operations, more of the operations side currently. And the guy that I work with, he is working to build us a backbone. And that backbone goes from the very first interaction all the way through long-term warranty subscriber, how many offices visits they've gone to, how many different sets of teeth they were, how picky they were, how much our zirconia costs, how much our implants cost, how much patient contact time there is. It is a full backbone that can tell us everything between X, Y, and Z. And one thing that I've really pulled out of that conversation is that the data is obviously the most important thing. And the way you present and organize your data is the key to any of this working. That's how a computer is going to figure something out. Just like us, if we had three problems, the more documentation of each problem that we have, the better we're able to make the decision, correct? So the data integrity and the way that it's organized is very, very important. So that ties into what you're saying, because if your data is on the internet and it's organized and it's authentic and it's real, that person should get more rewarded than the person that hasn't taken the time to organize any data or has just paid for their way. I think it's very exciting because it's a chance for everyone to be on an equal platform. So long as you do the legwork to organize that data, you can be the one that's populated in the search results. Or in my example, the more and harder we work to organize our data from start to finish as an organization, we're able to find the different inefficiencies and the things that we're lacking on. I'll give you an example. Anyone that runs a business looks through P&Ls. And so as I looked through my P&Ls, I could tell that there was something that was slipping through the cracks. I pointed at it. My COO pointed at it. We were dead. We even set up a meeting to discuss said, you know, thorn in our side that we had decided it was. Well, in order in this project to build this backbone, I had to build up sort of a fake one, which is a wild thing to even say that I can do that in this world of AI. But I built sort of this fake, with real data, but sort of this fake sort of backbone to show these people what I want built and how I want it to operate. And in that process, I found that the problem was not even remotely related to what we had all been convinced that it was. And that type of insight is something that is, you know, absolute gold to running a business efficiently and providing the quality of the process and providing the quality results that you want. When we first started this, there was an issue with the material that we used to put the teeth into. It wasn't zirconia, it was a nanoceramic is what it was called. But we didn't have any real data. We didn't have any real structured place to put this data and find out what is the profile of person that breaks these? What is the average length? What is the average lifespan of this? When should we expect, you know, more people to come in because it's about time for them to be broken? Those kind of things. But now we can ask it that. Now we can say, here's our whole world. We've organized it for you. What do I need to do here? And what's very fascinating and cool is you can put different agents on each different task. You know, you can have a legal agent and a marketing agent, and they're all sort of going to bat for themselves and what their position is and reviewing and say, well, this isn't really legal, so don't worry about it over there. And it's a very exciting time. And for people that are just getting into it, that can be sort of an overwhelming world. I mean, we're in this backbone. We're totally coming off of any frontier model. We have an agent that decides which AI platform to ask, right? What a crazy world to not even be on a Claude or a ChatGPT, but to have a world in which it says, this seems like more of a ChatGPT solution. Let's go here. Mm. And to be able to sort of own that data is very important. What I personally find is fascinating is, and I generally don't have this conversation. If you and I were just sitting next to each other in a bus, or if you asked me if I used AI, generally speaking, I'm going to say, yeah, I use it. Because what I find is when I did start to get into it and start to bring it up on said bus or on the golf cart, I find that it's AI is meant to please you, and it can become a huge echo chamber. And what I have found with friends that own other businesses, say it's a lawn care business or a healthcare business, doesn't matter what it is, they sort of pick a frontier model, and that frontier model sort of convinces them that they're perfect at what they do. And oh my goodness, that's a wonderful idea. And they go down this like sinkhole echo chamber, and that's them using AI. And I've had to sort of push myself to stay open to not committing to a frontier platform and not committing to saying, yes, I know AI, and sort of being open, because it can kind of narrow you down into this little echo chamber that you're amazing. And so it's funny because we have this sheet that we have prepared for our discussion, and I want to get your opinion on how does a person start an AI? How does a person, a person being a dentist, how would you recommend a dentist start an AI? And since I laid out said problem, how do they avoid ending up in that echo chamber? Because like I said, I've gotten to the point where I don't even discuss it, because everyone is convinced that they're right and that they're in the right echo chamber and that anyone else is just merely a suggestion. How does a person get into it, not convince themselves that they're in this perfect world where they figured it all out, and stay open to what is out there?
Yeah, that's, first of all, let me say, for someone who's watching this podcast, the phase where you are, where you have agents battling each other, that's a very high level. So if someone who's listening for the first time, whether they're a dentist or not, it's don't get intimidated by that. And that's not the first step at all. So the thing when you're starting out for a dentist or not, or if the patient who's watching and they're like, I want to start using AI as well. First of all, think big. That is the key, because we are so, we have a tunnel vision and we have a set things, a set mindset of where this is going to go. 2 + 2 = 4. Nothing else can happen. But AI and all these AI models are not like a typewriter that it can only generate a specific set of results. AI did not come with a manual either, that this is only as much as you can do with AI. Anthropic, which is the company that has Claude, they have their own courses, paid and unpaid versions of courses, but they're also not telling you exactly what you can and cannot do. So there's someone sitting out there who thought, I wonder if I can create a website with AI. I wonder if I can create an app with Claude. They decided to do that, and now it's become mainstream. Everyone's doing it within a couple of hours, having their own websites, having their own apps, linking their apps and websites to
digital. I'm going to interrupt you, sorry, real quick. Funny enough, my goddaughter, I have two goddaughters, they are little tiny mini entrepreneurs, and anytime they get a dollar, they go to like making things. And so they make these like little braided rubber band sort of like bracelets. I forget what the thing is called. They were telling me all about, last time we went out to dinner, maybe like a week ago, they were telling me all about how they were, they and their dad were going through and making a website together for their, you know, selling these products. And it's just mind-blowing that seven and 10-year-olds are get the concept of like, let's make a website. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I had to throw that in there.
No. That's so interesting. It's a very unpredictable world we're living in. We don't know what's going to happen in 10 years. 6 months ago, I created a course for dentists on how to use AI to create content with ChatGPT. And in a few weeks, Claude was launched. And so the hype was all about Claude. And then ChatGPT came back into the race with Codex. And I was teaching prompting, and now AI can prompt itself. So it's like that course is still valid for someone who is a beginner and wants to really learn. But for most people who are already in the AI race, they're like, we don't need this. This is primitive. This is so last season. So, mm-hmm. So for coming back to someone who's actually trying to get into the AI world and wants to implement it for their practice, just think big. The key is not to limit yourselves to what you can do with AI, and start with the chat, whether it's ChatGPT or it's Claude Chat, or it's Gemini, whichever AI model you're using. The first step I would say is to get the paid version, because if you're using an unpaid version, you're always going to keep running out of credits and tokens. And I have, from what I've researched, if you're in an unpaid version, they tend to use your content for training their own models. So it's you get some privacy with paid versions. So get that, and then it's not too much, it's not too expensive, and then start talking to AI. Get in the chat. There's a great app that I use, Whisperflow. I'm sure you've heard of it. It is a voice dictation. Yeah, it's just, it makes things so easy. So if you're in your practice and you have a hesitation from a patient who doesn't think that regular cleanings are important, and once you have a few minutes to yourself, you open up your phone, open the chat, and say, hey, I had this issue today, what can I do about it? And give as much context to Claude as possible, or ChatGPT, or whichever version you're using. And then once it comes up with solutions, open up a project. So you're able to dive deep into it. And so Claude may come up with solutions like, you know, send them case studies. Here's what you need to do chair side conversations. Here's what you need to send them. Here are the case studies that you need to do. Here's what you need to do in terms of marketing and so on and so forth. And the more you're able to experiment and learn with AI and then implement it, it's all about implementing it and seeing and playing with it and finding your way through it, and not to get intimidated by it, because I feel like if a dentist were able to learn muscles of mastication and all the nerve innervations and about occlusion, we're able to give a long block for a root canal in the wisdom tooth, we can understand algorithm and AI. So that's just what I want to say for a beginner.
I agree fully. It's it can be a daunting task, and I think that something that has stuck with me from the very beginning was, I have a friend who always says, the first thing out of his mouth anytime AI comes up is, today is the worst that AI will be in history ever again. Tomorrow, it's better. The next day, it's better. And that also is another little aspect, you know, psychologically, it can sort of be intimidating to say, okay, I'm going to start today, but just like you, writing that course and organizing and building with a ChatGPT, and then also, you know, fighting through that and realizing that that has sort of become a thing of the past and archaic, that can be sort of, you know, that can be defeating for a person as they start to, they go, okay, that it wants this, and it's, I'm going to create this portion of my social media platform, and then that portion gets sort of outdated. It can be defeating because of the progress. The progress can leapfrog anything that you've just done. So staying tenacious and staying resilient in the day and continuing on, you know, using it daily. They're probably in the last year, hasn't been a day where I've spent less than an hour on it a day of some sort. And the difference is, as you know, from last year to this year, is it's like I'm not even using the same thing anymore. It's absolutely unbelievable. But my encouragement for someone starting would be to stay tenacious and to not get defeated, because it can be very easy.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of the word defeating, you know, we have to have a positive mindset, first of all, and defeating in what sense? So the first example, I'm going to take my own example. The course, while I think for a beginner, it's still quite valuable. The course for a tech-savvy person may be defeated, but the knowledge is only growing. And we're only, the more we're able to experiment at a more, you know, simpler version of AI, we're going to get better when it gets advanced. And AI is learning, like whatever model we have and use consistently, it's becoming our business brain. So it's only getting learning and getting advanced. Recently, I was working on a project and I accidentally opened up a new chat window in Claude. And I was like, oh my God, I shouldn't have done this. It's supposed to go in that project, but I was working on my phone. I was outside. And so, but it gave me the answers according to what I needed, because it was able to fetch from all the other chats I've had, which has never happened before. It was such a new thing for me to see that it's able to get the memory from everything we've ever talked about from all the chats. So it's only going to get better. Our knowledge is going to get increase, and the more comfortable we are, so our projects or whatever strategy we've created in terms of marketing, whatever content we've created, that is going to keep on changing as the world changes, as AI gets more advanced. But the more we get practice with it, the better we are going to get. And if you're doing something right now according to what AI has to offer, according to what the world has right now, it will generate results, which is why there are high school dropouts that are becoming millionaires, because they're using what AI has to offer right now. There are people that were selling these prompt guides for like $500 sure. for prompt guides. And even though now AI can prompt itself, they made a bunch of money from when it was when it needed prompting. So that's what I feel like, you know, as dentists, I think we become quite resilient. This is something we're trained for. If it's difficult, you're met with a patient who might say, oh, this, my treatment is going to pay for your next trip, right? And you have to brush it off and move on to the next patient. And so I think resilience is part of our job. And I'm pretty positive how dentists are going to take AI.
Good words, no doubt. I think of it as well, where my friends and I that I hang out with, they're not dentists, but also entrepreneurs of some sort, and we all sort of think of it as maybe not the next new, you know, frontier, because it's very much the same sort of tools and actions and things that we're very used to doing, like running P&Ls and, you know, trying to find efficiencies in the business and promote ourselves, et cetera. But it's maybe we don't go to the level of saying the new frontier, but it's definitely a world in which we've now all become sort of on a level playing field to some sort. There is no super amount of money that you can necessarily pay that gets you this much further along. They still have to go through that and prompt it the same way, etc. So we very much think of this as sort of an opportunity to play on a playing an even playing field, and that should be exciting to anyone that's listening, that anyone that wants to get into AI. It's still fresh, it's still new, it's still something that you can use to your advantage to get to that frontier faster, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And the defeating thing is, it's 2026, AI is so easy to use. And if there's a dentist out there who's still using stock content and generic images, that's a defeating mind. Now you should feel defeated.
Yeah.
And if you've hired a marketing company and you're paying them $10,000 a month and they're giving you stock content, then that's something to think about again. I mean, I've met with dentists and I've offered them that I can do this for you, just try it out for a month. And they say, oh, we have a DSO that's handling our marketing. and I say it doesn't, I don't say it, but I feel it doesn't look like it. The least you can do as a marketing company is create AI slop.
Yeah.
Even that's going to be better than generic content and stock content. So again, for a beginner, if you're really, you know, other than the fact that you want to get help with the business side of things, how to convince patients, the chair side, content creation is something that you can, if there's a beginner dentist who wants to dive into AI, they can definitely try to experiment with content, get rid of the stock content, the generic images, get rid of the Mother's Day, Father's Day posts, and and the 10% off posts, and start talking more about the story behind it. It doesn't even have to be the pictures you're posting, because I have a content, it's a 7-second clip of a dental office. I think I recorded back when I was practicing, and I've used it multiple times, a 7-second clip with different text on it, with a different story, with a different narrative. And there are dentists, I'm getting followers from it. I'm getting over 5,000 views. I went from 25 views to 5,000 views from it. And there are people saving it, dentists saving and sharing it. And I thought, I was telling my husband, like, why would someone want to save this? this is their environment every single day. Why would they want to save and share it? But it was the content, the captions, the story that was in there. So this is, I think, for any dentist out there, this is not just a nice to have in 2026. This is essential. This is the first step for you to create a brand online and to have a brand coherence between what patients see in person to what they see online, or vice versa. And just start posting pictures of yourself behind the scenes. Have your dental assistant take a picture of you. Have AI write a caption for you. Don't post about patient John bringing you donuts and bringing your team donuts. Instead, because patient Carla and patient Maddie do not care about it. If you really must post pictures, post a picture of you with their smile like this, and then give a narrative of how that led to patient being happy and satisfied. So I think that's, and then talk with AI, brainstorm with it, and revamp your social media through that. I think that's the first step you need to do.
I'm very glad to hear your opinion on stock photos, because I think of myself as a very nice boss. I'm not scary at all. When I go sit down next to any new employee, they get a little bit nervous. And listen, I'm not the one you need to be scared of, you know, being around you. It's other people that are going to come after you, not me. There are two ways to enrage me. One, put paper signs around the office, like do not open, you know, fridge gets cleaned out once a week. Paper signs drive me bananas. And number two is show me anything with stock photos. You show me stock photos, I'm going to lose my mind. That's why I was laughing when you said stock photos.
Yes, exactly. And I think it's shifting, because now AI slop is everywhere. I went to a festival recently, and every food stall there had a banner that was generated through ChatGPT. And I was like, I kept telling my husband, that's ChatGPT. And he was like, why don't you choose what you want to eat? And I said, yeah, but that's ChatGPT.
Maybe they were spending more time in their recipes rather than worrying about their branding.
So it's becoming, I think, like in a few months, that's going to be the new version of stock content. But for the people who are working and want to try something now, that's the least you can do. And if you're not putting, don't go into creating avatar versions of yourself. I think that's another business that's up and running and it's thriving, where people are saying we can create avatars of you because you don't have time to create your own content. I think dentists are one of those professions where trust is super important. So if there's an avatar version of you, that's a red flag for patients. So it's important. If you don't have time to create content, have someone create an animation through Claude Design. Have someone create a different kind of a cartoonish video and educational content and have your audio in the background or have a behind the scenes of you working and, you know, explain through it. So that's just personally what I believe.
I couldn't agree with you more. That's really, truly a lot of what is how we ended up with a podcast. We had talked about it well before any sort of AI because we felt like we had a story and some level of branding that we wanted to do that was very personal and very like long form, if you will, rather than just short 30-second TV advertising. Yes, I'm old enough to be TV advertising was the number one way even before Google. But this was sort of, we wanted to be able to have our own platform to generate long form content without a lot of extra polish and stuff so that patients could sort of get that sort of genuine feel. And that's something that's very important to building that brand is having that genuine story that's out there. And to finish the story of how we ended up really with a podcast is the final push was me having a conversation with AI on what I should do and where my holes are, et cetera, in terms of the business. And it said, listen, the only thing that you can do that's better than anything in the world is genuinely put a ton of time into something that is you, real, 100%, can't be stolen, can't be generated. You know, my competitor can't steal my, they can steal something or my opinion, but they would have to create it themselves. They'd have to make that again versus just taking a different shot angle or stealing a stock photo of XYZ. So we've really invested in trying to get that long form content that can't be artificially created as a result of a conversation I had with AI.
Yes. Yes. This is one of the reasons why I reached out to you because I was so inspired. I mean, who brings their patients to their podcast? But you had, I mean, if someone wants to know more about what it's like being treated by Dr. Dan, they just need to go on a podcast and patients are coming and explaining the entire experience. And that was really interesting for me to see. That's definitely very unique.
It's self-serving because if I look back on the year, those are some of my favorite moments of the year was spending that time with them after we've gotten through it all. It's kind of like a post-game wrap-up after a sports game is, you know, you get to that level where you're now friends. You know, they're excited to see you. You know, we've tried to capture sort of different timelines from 48 hours after surgery or 40 hours after surgery all the way to 3 or 4 years after surgery. And so we've tried to kind of capture different moments. We had Carry on. He had an implant fail. That was a popular one because people want to know how does it happen? If you have one fail, what's that world look like? And so bringing all of that stuff on and getting that out of them has been really fun exercise. Pivoting a little bit, I want to ask you, give me an example, and I'm putting you on the spot a little bit. Give me an example of, let's say I'm a private practice. I don't use AI yet. I want to come to you and I want to build an AI sort of platform to build off of, or I want to start building my brand. Can you give me an example of something that's like a really bad use or something that's maybe popular out there that you don't think is very good, and then one of like an excellent example of what a person could do?
So again, in terms of things not to do with AI for dentists, I would say not to use AI avatars. Like this is, I'm like I talked about before, trust building is very important. So using HeyGen or these kind of apps that create AI versions of you, and giving very robotic educational content even, is a big no. And so if there's someone new and they want to use AI to just, start from scratch and go, the thing that I've found really helpful is to build a dashboard with AI and with Claude. And that's really simple. So what you have to do is you go on Claude and start a new project with Claude. First of all, have the paid version, have the desktop version of Claude. So it's installed in your computer. Open it up, go on projects. And I primarily use Claude, so I'm going to give that example. and have Claude analyze your social media and where it is right now. And then give your username, give access to Claude. The way I work with agents is, or with projects, is I call them my dependable agents. I do not let them execute tasks themselves. They always have to, I always have to screen the tasks, and I always have to allow them for them to execute it. So they go and they do the competitor research. They go on Instagram. They check out where you are in terms of followers, in terms of posts, what are other people doing in your niche. And they will come back within a few minutes with all of the data. Next, you're going to ask Claude to create a dashboard of it. So it's going to, you can customize it as much as you want, but Claude will say, okay, this is where you are, and this is what you need to double down on. This is what your competitors are doing. And it's going to create an entire content plan for you on what's working and what's not working and what can work. So so that's, I think, a good first step to have. That being said, just something that I want to mention is that I did the same for my social media because I used to work for other dentists and build their brands. And somewhere down the line, I became sort of like a ghostwriter. I couldn't really put my name to the brand, and I couldn't. So I said, okay, I'm going to start building in public and build my own personal brand. And I started with a dashboard as well. And this is, I would say, around 4 months back. So definitely AI is a lot more equipped now to handle dashboards. Yeah. But what happened then was I kept coming back to certain posts that, for example, I have a post on my social media that is about when I had wrote an article, non-dental article, and it got published. It's a big deal, got lots of views. So it kept coming back. Oh, that worked. And I had to keep training it and saying, and you have to be okay with training Claude and whatever AI model you're using, because it's like training an employee. You hire an employee and they don't do well the first day, you're not going to fire them and say, oh, they don't work. You need to keep coming back to them. You need to understand that maybe they're not learning like this. Maybe they're a visual learner. Maybe I can add them on my Slack channel. Maybe I can send them a Loom video of what works, what doesn't work. Maybe I give them a chart of the workflows. So go back and forth with Claude. And what I felt was that it was giving me a list of things to do and a list of content to create which worked to a certain extent and didn't. So I went rogue and I started doing my own research and experimenting, and that helped me a lot. So I think that's while you're using AI, it's important to first be patient, and then also have someone who is sort of helping you if you do not have time, if you're practicing 5 days, 6 days a week, for someone to translate it. But otherwise, even if you're doing exactly what AI is telling you to do, and then that becomes a scheduled task. So you can command Claude to run the same thing next week, and every week Claude is going to run the dashboard again, see where your followers are, see where your competitors are doing. What I do and what I've done for myself is I've created separate projects for each platform. So one is running LinkedIn, one is running Instagram, one is running Facebook. And I wanted to grow my LinkedIn. I haven't touched it in a while. So it didn't just help me revamp it. It started telling me which people I need to reach out to. It started, and I said, I don't have time to engage with everyone's posts. It started recommending me the posts and what I need to comment on each post. Wow. And I had to go back and forth and tell it, okay, these people are, you know, great. They're big influencers. So my comment is going to get buried under all of those other comments. So I want to find small businesses and dentists specifically, or small AI influencers. So it filtered through it and started giving me, you know, posts that were relevant. So I started commenting, because at the end of the day, I do get content fatigue, and my mind just comes up with great, awesome, words like that. So it would give me 3-4 line comments on, you know, here's what you can comment on. So I have different, and I'm trying to replicate it for every client. And so it has these agents, if you call them, I call them dependable agents, because I'm, you know, Sal Khan, who is the CEO of Khan Academy, said that you need to have AI write the email for you, but you should be the one pressing send. So I think that that's the way to go. And once a dentist is this way through, I'm sure they're going to figure out moving forward.
I love it. That's actually a great sort of stopping point. I could talk to you all day about AI, but I think that, you know, giving these like building blocks and advice to the listeners is very important to, you know, help them sort of get a starting point, because there really isn't a lot of places that they can come to sort of get where to begin and how to start this project, because it can be overwhelming and it can be, like we talked about, defeating.
Yeah.
But dentists are tenacious, so hopefully somebody will find some value in the conversation that we just had, no doubt.
One quick thing I want to mention for dentists out there is not to be excited when they see some new app that is launched, some new shiny object out there, because the influencer world has changed a lot. Instead of just talking about brands, they're talking about these new things that we can create with AI. So just today I saw a video of a girl who had her makeup, her blush, and she used Codex to take the mirror out and code and create it into a digital diary. For a dentist, you really need to do that. Not necessarily. You can create an app. You can create your own version of SmileFi and SmileWiz. But do you really need to reinvent the wheel? Not necessarily. So I think just try to stick to the basics. Do as much as you do. And I think we're going to be good.
Yeah. At the end of the day, what we have is a business that is primarily relationship dependent and relationship driven. And it's built on the hand skills that are very hard to replicate. There's aspects of it that we didn't even touch that we have touched in past episodes about how AI is there to augment us for digital design and other aspects of dentistry. But I think we did a good job kind of talking a lot about like the social media aspect and sort of how it can be, it can help build us and build our brand, and kind of, you know, where to start and how to do things. If I'm a dentist or I'm somebody that's listening that wants to reach out to you to discuss anything, would you like to sort of plug, how do I find you? What are we going to talk about? Those kind of things.
Yeah, sure. I'm on Instagram. I'm most available over there, Aligned with Sunia. That's my username. That's my handle on Instagram, Aligned with Sunia. And then I'm on, you can reach me out on LinkedIn, and saniakhan.ai. And then I'm also, my email address is there on my Instagram. I think, yeah, docaligned with Sunia@gmail.com is my email address. And so, yeah, you can reach me out through there.
Amazing. I'm sure that we'll get a link put up on there. And this is actually the first time we've done a podcast with a Zoom meeting. We have had one in the past, but it was in the old studio. This is actually the first Zoom that we've ever done. And it's gone smooth and flawlessly. So I appreciate you being here for that.
Of course. You know, I have a flight to U.S. tomorrow. I'm here in Toronto. So I was actually thinking maybe I could make it to your place, but I'm traveling. It's a big country. I'm going to be in Texas. So
you're going to be in Texas.
So I was thinking maybe I could work something out, but Carly gave the option for Zoom. So I was like, let's do it.
Perfect. Yeah. You're welcome anytime if travel does bring you down to South Florida. And, you know, we've really appreciated getting to know you. And I'm sure we'll use you in the future in terms of, you know, jumping on the podcast again. There's, like I said, a million different conversations that we could have. So I really appreciate you taking the time to have the conversation with us. And I look forward to the future with you as well.
Yes, thank you so much, Dr. Dan. And you're such an inspiration. I do want to say that most dentists stop after before and after photo shoot, but you're taking it further and actually bringing dentists onto your podcast. This is huge for potential patients. So thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate it. No, we enjoyed having you. If you enjoyed this content, like, subscribe, email us if you have any questions. I'm sure we'll have the link to getting to contact. And until next time, we will see you soon. Thank you.